saints that seem to be walking in absolute holiness but go home and sip wine and alcohol in the evenings just to take the edge off. And I realize that most people would think, well, surely that's not, you know, that's got to be outliers. That cannot be the majority of people. But before I read the scripture, I want to just give you a few statistics. The Pew Research Center provided these statistics. 60% of Catholics report drinking alcohol. 60%. 51% of Protestants, over half, report drinking alcohol. And even 23% of Pentecostals drink alcohol. And so I want to address myself to that today. If you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. And we would just remind you, please, here in the worship room, those watching online, if you would remember to support us with your tithe and offering. We have a lot of things going on. As a matter of fact, the renovation project is going to start tomorrow morning over in the refuge room. We have to make more classrooms over there because we're growing a bit. And so that's an $80,000 project that we're putting together. And we didn't do a campaign of any type because we had money in the bank, and so we don't want to put a burden on you if we don't have to. There's money in the bank, so we just pay for it. But please remember that we just put out a truckload of money to make that happen, and we continually and consistently need your support. Ephesians chapter 5, I'll just read verse 17, and we'll pray. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, what has been called the Queen of the Epistles. Verse 17, he says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but rather understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that through every confusion, through every cloud, through every storm, that you are the rock of our salvation. And we look to you today, Lord, that you would feed our souls, that you would give us fresh manna from heaven that we might consider. Lord, we ask you that you'd bless the offering this morning, all those that give today here in the worship room across the online experience, that you would bless these lives, bless these families as they support the expansion of the kingdom of God. We ask you to bless them. And Lord, use me this morning to speak to your people, especially to speak to those who may be getting themselves in trouble unawares. We ask it in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I looked up these statistics, I was absolutely shocked. I knew that, yeah, of course, there's always going to be some saints that, you know, are drinking wine or getting drunk or doing whatever. But for the percentages to be so high, I was shocked. If 51% of Protestants drink alcohol, that would mean that over half of the people in this room drink alcohol. Do you see what I'm saying? It's shocking. And we live in a time that people use the two excuses they constantly use, and I've heard it through the years. Well, Jesus turned the water into wine, brother. And Paul told Timothy, take a little wine for his stomach's sake. And for those that would put up that argument or want to know the answer to that argument, I would direct you to Brother Swaggart's commentary on the Gospel of John, page 35. You're going to find that the word wine was used across six different products of the culture of that day. Anything from the fermented fruit of the vine down to a great jam was also referred to as wine. And of course, even now, we have non-alcoholic wine, and it's referred to as wine. So just because we see the word wine in the scripture does not mean you have permission to get drunk. It's quiet in here. Which 51% are you? So Paul says, Wherefore, be not unwise. This is in the scripture. Verse 17 and 18 are called parallelisms. It's a theological term to show almost a rhythm in the scripture where God says, don't do this, but rather do this. Then verse 18, don't do this, but rather do this. And he draws a parallel between being unwise and what we'll see in verse 18 by being drunk with wine wherein is excess. He draws a parallel between knowing the will of God and being filled with the Spirit, verse 18. And so in verse 17, he begins by saying, wherefore, be not unwise. Now, here's the thing. God has created every one of us. All of mankind is created as an intelligent, rational person with the ability to logic things out, to think in a clear manner, reasonable and rational thoughts. So he says, don't be unwise by intoxicating yourself with alcohol, losing the ability for that clear, reasonable thought. And how many know when you get drunk, you get silly? Okay, y'all are going to have to talk to me this morning. Listen, Trump lived, okay? He's still alive. You don't have to be down in the mouth about that. But when you get drunk, all of a sudden your reason is not what it should have been. You start doing things silly. When people get drunk, they lose their ability to restrain themselves, and any inward perverseness tends to come out. Are you with me? You lose your ability to resist defilement of your moral code. And so the apostle says, don't be unwise, but rather, instead of being unwise, rather understand what the will of God is for you. In Proverbs 34, I believe it is, it says that kings should not drink wine. How many know we're kings and priests before our God? And priests should not partake of strong drink. But yet we live in a time that Christians, and I've heard major pastors over mega ministries say to their people that, yes, me and my wife, we drink a little wine at dinner every single night. Not realizing that all alcohol, and the Bible is talking about alcohol. Because in those days, wine was the major means of intoxication. But I'm today talking not only about wine, I'm talking about reefer. I'm talking about cocaine. I'm talking about pharmaceutical painkillers that you don't need to be taking. You're just trying to get a buzz. You don't have no pain. You're just trying to get a buzz. Intoxication is the enemy of your soul, and it reduces you by dulling your senses, by blurring your mind. But the next verse, verse 18, it says, be not drunk. The word drunk here, it means soaked with intoxicating drink. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Now, I've heard this many times. People say, well, you know, I really don't have an addictive personality. I'm just fine. The thing you have to understand is that it is in the wine where the excess is. It's not in your personality. Any person that has a human body can become chemically addicted. Don't fool yourself. Do not fool yourself. And I would say that if there's someone here in the room or someone watching across the webcast that says, Pisha, you just got to get off of this because I'm going to drink my wine. The very fact that you are resisting this lets us know you already got an issue. See, if you preach that, hey, you can't get drunk, Pastor Lincoln, I can give you an amen because I hadn't got drunk anyway. But I've lived long enough to know, and I've been through enough deep water to know what a chemical addiction is. And it is a trap. It is a trap. Oh, when you first go to happy hour with your friends and have just a few and everyone's giggling and giddy. Everyone is having fun. Isn't this wonderful? But I have seen and ministered to a woman, my wife and I ministered to her, who died of alcoholism. It is the most pathetic, pitiful death that you ever want to witness. We were told by a coworker of mine, my auntie or my whoever it was, relative, needs help. Could you come and help? They knew I was a preacher. And so we went and got her, and we brought her to church several times. And I'm not exaggerating. The whites of her eyes were totally yellow from Gondis. So much alcohol was in her body on an ongoing basis that if she drank water, she would get drunk. And the bondage was so tight, she wanted to get free. She wanted to get away from it, but she could not stop drinking. And ultimately, her organs stopped functioning, and she passed away. And so there's a big difference between the end of that matter and how much recreational fun it is at the beginning of that matter. Are you with me today? It says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Here it is. But rather, here's the parallelism, but rather be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you remember when Peter and John came, I think it was just Peter, when he came out of the upper room, they said, these men are drunk on new wine. And Peter said, we're not drunk as you suppose. We hadn't been drinking wine, but this is that, talking about the filling of the Spirit. And here's what I'm here to tell you today. You get one of the two, but you can't have both. You can't be full of wine and full of the Holy Ghost at the same time. That's not the truth. When you select wine as a child of God, you select intoxicants of some type. That's what you get. The other you don't get. You cannot have them both. And the scripture in verse 17, it said, understand the will of the Lord. This is God's will for his people, that we don't walk around in need of being intoxicated to deal with our lives. We should have the joy of the Lord that lifts us up. We should have the fellowship, sweet communion with Jesus Christ. I'm going to just be a little bit stronger. I'm not getting amens anyway. If you are going home drinking wine, there's a problem with your walk. And you can say, Peter, Jesus made the water into wine. You can say, Paul told Timothy to drink a little wine. Pastor Lincoln's telling you there's a problem with your walk. And here's why. Proverbs says, wine is a mocker. It mocks. You're created as God's greatest creation, intelligent, made in the image of God. But we imbibe this stuff and we dumb ourselves down to nothing more than a brute beast. We make ourselves silly because we don't discern what the will of God is for our lives. Now, saints, I've been through a severe addiction in my life. I'm telling you, it's a trap. I know many of you will not listen. But when you're in the trap, you will think back. You know, Pastor Lincoln told me this was going to happen. It seems so much fun at first. It seems so wonderful. It seems like this is harmless. But then in just a little while, you find out that I need to do this again because I can't deal with my life. You know, my job went crazy, or my wife made me mad, or my children are angry, or whatever the case. And all of a sudden, man, I need a Budweiser. Take the edge off. That tells you there's a problem in your walk. That tells you, and saints, personally, I personally would not care one way or the other. But I know it's a trap. I know it's detrimental to your life. I know that nobody's improved after they drink a six-pack. Nobody. And I also know, because I was this way from a little child. I was 13 when I started smoking weed. I just like to be high. How many know that alcohol don't taste good? It doesn't taste good. It's not like orange juice. It tastes bad, but we press past the bad taste because we want the buzz. The scripture says that no drunkenness will inherit the kingdom of God. Get that? Galatians 5, I believe about verse 23. No drunkenness is going to inherit the kingdom of God. And the New Testament says that 2 to 3 times in different places. And so I know the retort comes back, well, I'm not drunk. I'm just buzzed a little. In the United States, it takes a blood alcohol level of 0.08% to be legally drunk. In Canada, it's 0.05%. If you're in Sweden, Poland, or Scotland, it's 0.02% to be legally drunk. I wonder what it is in the kingdom of God. I wonder how buzzed you'd have to be before you're claimed a drunkard in the kingdom. I know for myself, anything that threatens my inheritance of the kingdom of God, I want nothing to do with it. It's not that important to me. I need to get away from that. And here's my challenge to you. If you're in this boat, I'm not beating you up today, but I'm challenging you. Stop drinking for a month. Not a sip of wine. Not a can of beer. Not a shot of bourbon. You step away. And you'll find out how much it means to you. And if it means more to you than what you thought, maybe you should back up. The scripture in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, it says, wine is a mocker. It means it mocks us as we, again, it created as rational, intelligent beings with the ability to think through complex problems. But when you start drinking, and even if you do enough cocaine, I've been down this line, you start slurring your speech. All of a sudden, you can't put one foot in front of another one anymore. And listen, just because our court system says it's legal to walk around buzzed, that doesn't mean it's legal in the kingdom of God. Listen, if it's not adding anything to your walk, if it's not adding anything to your spirituality, if in fact it's taken away from your spirituality, why would you continue to do that? Some of us, and this happened to me, some of us are hard-headed. I mean, I'm in that boat. I'm hard-headed. And so when I heard the old saints say, hey, you got to get away from those intoxicants, I thought, no doubt, like some of you may be thinking, oh, no, I'm cool. I got it. No problem. But over the years, because Satan will take his time, he doesn't have to work you in a month. It took years. And I found myself in a horrible pit. A chemical addiction that I could not get rid of. And it all came because I liked, from a little boy, I liked to be intoxicated. And it didn't matter, was it weed, was it mescaline, was it acid, it didn't matter, just get me high. I want to buzz. And over the years, I was about, I don't know, maybe 30, 28, 30, somewhere right in there, I got into a chemical addiction. It took, 17 years, but there I was, and now I can't get free. I could no longer hold a job. I no longer made my family my priority because the addiction had become the priority of my world. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And here's what God said. He said, be not unwise. He said, don't be unwise. That means when you're partaking and you're indulging yourself in this intoxicating behavior, and it doesn't have to be alcohol or illicit drugs, we got a bad problem with the pharmaceuticals in our country. We get pharmaceutical medicine from a legitimate doctor, painkillers, perhaps you had a bad back or whatever the case, and by the time you're done with that prescription, you like it. So you go to the doctor to get some more. Still hurts, doc. And he gives you a few more and tells you, well, this is all we can give you. But you got a nephew that can get it off the street. This actually happens. So you tell your nephew, hey, go get me some of those. And you would be surprised how many people right now are in the street homeless with a fentanyl addiction that started with a pharmaceutical painkiller. It's an amazing thing. And so whether it's pharmaceuticals, wine, reefer, whatever the case, it's a mocker. The scripture says strong drink is raging. Oh, let me back up just a moment. Ephesians 5:18 again. Be not drunk wherein is with wine wherein is excess. That word excess, if you look it up in the Greek, the word is unsavedness. Get that? Unsavedness. How many know when somebody gets drunk or gets high, they don't act sanctified? Especially not men. You let young men get drunk, they become animals. I ought to hear the sister saying amen. They become predators. And yet somehow within Christianity, we've tried to smooth this over and say, no, it's normal Christian civil behavior. It's not. It's not. So I said, but Pastor, Jesus made the water into wine. Well, first we have to prove whether that was fermented wine or not. But even if we prove that, we don't see Jesus drinking none of it. We don't see Paul drinking none of it. And so we have to ask ourselves, is this the will of God for our lives? Or are we just slipping, dipping, and then come back and repent? And then slip and dip again and come back and repent. Wine is a mocker. Again, Proverbs 20. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever, doesn't matter who you are, if you allow intoxication to deceive you, you are not being wise. You're being unwise, and you're not walking in the will of God for your life. I've been on both sides of this thing. I can tell the difference. It's easy to be over there slipping and dipping and think the anointing is still there, but when you actually look at it, God wasn't using my life back then. He wasn't using me at all. But when I came to the place that he broke the addiction and I made a commitment to him, right there he began using my life, and he's been using it more and more every year, more and more he's been using it. And so what am I saying today? I'm saying that these intoxicants can rob us of what Jesus wants us to have in terms of the anointing on our life. The understanding of the Bible, it can rob you of it. You know, it would seem like we would already know that. Not drinking anything, not doing any kind of intoxicants at all, I already still got enough problems with just myself. I don't need to add liquor on top of that. I got enough issues with just me. I want to share with you a little story. If you would turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 19. While you're turning there, let me say this. Noah was one of eight people that escaped the flood. One of eight. I mean, that means he had a place with God. The whole world died, millions of people. He's one of eight people, and he's the main person God used to build the ark. He escapes the flood. He's on the ark. I believe it was 40 days. And as soon as the ark lands and the water recedes, he plants a vine, ferments the fruit, and this great man of God gets sloppy drunk. And what ends up happening is he brings a curse upon his family. First of all, he got drunk. He goes into his tent and takes all his clothes off. That ought to let you know something's up with that alcohol. And his son sees him with no clothes on and tells his brother, and ultimately he gets a curse. Canaan gets a curse upon his life. Noah, by imbibing this alcohol, invited a curse upon his family. How are we any different? None of us came through the flood. None of us have worked 100 years building an ark. We're not even the place Noah was in. If it threw him off, how many know it's going to throw you and I off? But let me share this story quickly. Genesis chapter 19, verse 30, it says in Lot, now, it says, Lot went out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. Now, the entry to this scenario is Lot has just had an angel take a hold of his hand and lead him out of Sodom. An angel. You and I haven't seen no angels. But this man has an angel grab him by the hand and lead him out of Sodom right before the destruction of God falls upon it. So a Lot, although he was nothing compared to Abraham, he still has some credentials. It says, and his firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there's not a man in the earth to come into us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him. Now, the devil knows that wine is a method of manipulation. Because his daughter said, he's not going to just lie with us. We got to get him drunk first. And this man who just had his hand in the hand of an angel, it says, and the firstborn went in. Where was I at? Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed unto our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Now get that. Get what's happening there. He got drunk. He didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know when the girl came in. He didn't know when the girl raped him. He didn't know when the girl got up out of the bed. He knew nothing. I wonder how much you and I lose if we get intoxicated. I know a woman that spent many years as an alcoholic. And when you talk to this lady, she will tell you that there are whole years of her life that she does not remember. They're like they're just gone. Can't quite remember, maybe can tell you what country she was in, but can't tell you the details of her life. And much like Lot, he just absolutely knew nothing about what had just happened to him. Now, they had to use wine because his moral code was, I would not do this. I'm not laying with my daughter. But once the wine was imbibed, the moral code, the resistance was broken down. But it gets worse. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also. Now, hold it, stop right there. He just got sloppy drunk last night to the point that he could be raped and not even know it. And the very next night, he gets drunk again. Wine is a mocker. And they made their father to drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him. And once again, he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Had it not been for the alcohol, this would not have happened. He would have been aware of himself. He would have been cognizant of what was going on around him. His moral code would not have been broken down. He would have resisted these efforts. It was the alcohol that was used to cause this man to fall in such terrible sin. But look at the outcome. What has happened is bad enough. Let's look at the outcome. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father, and the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. This is the father of the Moabite people. The Moabites were the enemies of Israel, not for decades, for centuries. For hundreds of years, they were the mortal enemies of the nation of Israel. This is where the Moabites started, from Lot and his daughters. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. The Ammonites, again, mortal enemies of Israel, not for decades, but for centuries. So one small mistake, because I was just trying to get a buzz. It can hurt your family. It can hurt your future. It can hurt all of those around you. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whoever you are that's being deceived, thereby, you're not walking in wisdom. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room this morning? Father, I've done my best to blow the trumpet in Zion. I would ask you now, Master, that you would take these words, that you would drill them down into the hearts of those who may be in trouble, who may not be in trouble, but have not yet known the will of God for their life. I ask you that you would move by your power upon these hearts and these lives. God, that you would bring conviction, that, Lord, without the torment, the addiction and the heartache that I went through personally to learn this lesson, oh God, I ask you that you would break down the barriers that they might hear the word and walk in wisdom. Come on, all over the room, if you're able this morning, stand to your feet with me. You may not have an issue, but maybe you have a nephew or a niece that has an issue. Maybe you have a loved one. Maybe you have an issue, but you don't think it's an issue. Just reach out to the Lord right now. God, lead me in this. Lead me in this, Lord. God, I don't want to get myself in trouble. I love my family. I love my spouse. God, I want all things to be well for me and my family. Lead me, oh God. If you have a loved one, just say, God, help me to communicate these truths to my loved one that's struggling in this area. Just reach out to God. Just reach out to God.
We just ask for your help, Lord. Help us to be honest, Lord, with ourselves, Father. Help us to be honest with you, Father. Help us to know that you are our present help, Lord, when we need help. Father, we just thank you because this was a message from you, Lord. Help us to not think that we are stronger than what has taken down many, many men, Father. Heavenly Father, we just say thank you for your grace. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your on-time word that can save souls. Father, we love you, and we just give you all the glory and praise. Amen? Amen. That was a very strong word. As you guys know, if you haven't given, please go ahead and do so. There are many ways to do that. And this Wednesday, we have Laity to Laity. So please come out and show support to the speakers that will be speaking. With that being said, we love you guys and have a blessed week. Thank you.